Still broadcasting from the Civic Cypher Studios. Welcome back to the QR Code, where we share perspective, seek understanding, and shape outcomes. The man you are about to hear from is a man who he had an idea in his brain, and he did the work, and he accomplished the goal, and I'm so proud of him. He is the Q in the QR Code. He goes by the name of Q Ward.
And the man that you just heard from is really the author, the navigator, the decision maker, the decider of all the great things that happened to Civic Cypher and the QR Code. He is the R. He is the captain. He the Civic and the Cypher. We are Ramses Ja.
We are the QR Code and we are Civic Cypher. Make no mistake. Anyway, stay tuned. Entertainment is headed your way. Rich Paul has built Clutch Sports into a billion-dollar brand. Prior to that, we're going to have some dialogue. Who would you give a star on the Walk of Fame in your life? Right now, Q Ward's clapback, 55-year fire. Q?
August 23rd, 1971. A corporate lawyer named Lewis Powell, who Richard Nixon was about to nominate to the Supreme Court, wrote a confidential memo to the United States Chamber of Commerce. The memo argued that American businesses was under attack by, and I quote, leftist infiltration of the universities, the media, the courts, and the churches. It laid out a plan: build our own think tanks, build our own law schools, build our own media, fund our own scholars, take the campus back, take the courts back, take the culture back. That memo was the starting gun of a 55-year project. And today I want to walk you through what that project has actually built. Because the book bans that you're reading about, the AP courses being pulled from schools, the libraries closing because they're losing federal funds, the universities being defunded, all of it. None of that is spontaneous or random. This cultural moment, it is a harvest. It has been on somebody's calendar for half a century. Let's follow the timeline. Heritage Foundation, 1973. Cato Institute, 1977. American Enterprise Institute, repositioned in the late 70s. The Federalist Society, 1982. Rush Limbaugh National Syndication, 1988. Fox News, 1996. PragerU, 2009. Turning Point USA, 2012, The Daily Wire, 2015. Each one of those institutions was founded on purpose to change what Americans think, what Americans read, and who gets to teach them. The money has names: Coors, Koch, DeVos, Mercer, Uline, Bradley, Leonard Leo. Every one of them wrote a check for the specific purpose of the world you and I are living in right now. The Federalist Society did not just show up in your law schools. It was funded to get there. Fox News didn't just win the ratings. It was funded to displace CBS Evening News. Turning Point USA did not just appear on college campuses. It was funded to be there. The pipeline is 55 years old, and every joint of it has a receipt. In the last few years, that playbook got surgical. Christopher Rufo in 2021, on the record in his own words, quote, "We have successfully frozen their brand, critical race theory, into the public conversation, and we are steadily driving up negative perception," end quote. His follow-up, and I quote, "The goal is to have the public read something crazy in the newspaper and immediately think critical race theory." He said that in public because he was proud of it. He engineered a moral panic on purpose and told you he was doing it. Moms for Liberty, founded in January of 2021 by former Republican operatives, and is funded by the Leonard Leo networks, the same networks that placed the Supreme Court justices who gutted the Voting Rights Act. Every school board meeting where a mother in a matching t-shirt in objection to a book called Beloved is a scene that was staged 3 years in advance by a foundation that pays for their mileage. Now, the harvest. The American Library Association tracked 4,235 unique titles challenged in schools and public libraries in 2025 alone, the second highest year ever documented. 92% of the challenges were initiated by organized pressure groups, up 20 points from the prior year. In Florida, in 2023, the state banned the AP African American Studies course from public schools. Yeah, I'll say that again. A state banned the study of the history of Black Americans, you know, the people that built the country. In 2025, the Trump administration issued an executive order effectively defunding the Institute of Museum and Library Services, which is the federal agency that keeps small town public libraries open in the countries and the counties nobody in Washington has ever visited. This week, Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick announced a plan to punish public schools that keep, quote, vulgar books on their library shelves by knocking those schools down in the state's performance ratings, meaning the punishment is backed by funding, or the lack thereof. That is the harvest of a 55-year plan. Ray Bradbury saw this coming in 1953, Fahrenheit 451. The part everybody remembered is the firemen burning the books. The part everybody forgets is that Bradbury said the fire was not the beginning. The beginning was the population that stopped wanting books and let the state finish the job with matches. Bradbury's montage lived in a country where every well of every house was a television that talked to the family by name and called the family back. The fire came second. The screens came first. We laughed at that wall television in 1953. Then we bought them. Then we appeared to have them talk to us all day. Then we noticed that reading a book had become a chore. Then the firemen showed up, in that order. Bradbury's ending is the part that stays with me. When the montage finally escaped the burning city, he finds the book people. Each of them has memorized one book by heart. That's the whole plan. Not resistance in the street, not a movement, just people who have decided to become the container the book lives in and to pass that book to the next person willing to hold it. So read. Read books that would embarrass your school board. Buy them from Black-owned bookstores. If you can find one in your city, if you can't, reach out to Civic Cypher. We'll help you. Give them to your kids. Give them to your neighbor's kids. Sit in the chair and turn a page for an hour and let your brain get all of that information in. Because a country that reads is a country that cannot be told what to think. And that is a country the 55-year plan was designed to prevent. Be the book, be the container, and pass it on. Something that you might be able to learn from one of your favorite radio guys who might have some ambition to be an author, but I'll let Ramses Ja tell you about that.
Well, that conversation is coming sooner than later, but right now, let's have some dialogue. You are tuned in to the QR code. Ramses Ja on the microphone, joined by the one and only Q Ward. Q, who would you give a star on the Walk of Fame in your life?
One person?
It doesn't say one person, so.
I got a couple.
All right, go for it. Let's hear.
First and foremost, Reverend Estella Seacrest.
All right, all right.
If you went to high school with me, if you grew up in church with me, if you played any sport that I've ever played, your biggest cheerleader, your favorite mom, your favorite place to hang out by mistake, my mom's living room, or my mom's worship service. My friends and I would get ready to go out. And I'm talking about those years where girls are the most important thing in your life. Hmm. We would get fresh, we would spray on some cologne, we would go get a haircut, we would get dressed, we would meet at my house to go up to the park, downtown, to the movies, to wherever there was gonna be a high concentration of young women. Except before we got to leave, we would start talking to my mom. And then you would look up and 4 hours have passed. Because that's who she was. She was the pastor and the counselor and the mom and the nurse and the therapist and. a superstar in her own right, you know, model fine in her prime, book smart, street smart, physically strong, mentally strong. She raised the neighborhood, not just her kids. If you ever get a chance to meet her and talk to her, you'll see what I mean. Ramses has had that pleasure. She is a real, real life superstar. I think Ramses and I might raise the money to do her Hollywood star.
I like that.
And right after we got that one done, he wouldn't realize it, but his star would be not too far away from hers, and that is Ramses Ja. In 2009, end of 2008, early 2009, I was in a bit of a spiral. I had spent a year looking for a job that I could not find, moved back to Michigan to bartend, and Elizabeth Barone, formerly of Moet Hennessy USA, by way of Detroit, Michigan, gave me a call to see if I was still in Arizona. Unfortunately, I was in Ann Arbor, Michigan, bartending. And she's like, man, I really had an opportunity for you, but if you're back in Michigan, oh well. I said, well, tell me about it. Maybe I can get where you need me to be. And she was like, well, I know you told me you were in Arizona. It's in Arizona. I found a way to get some money. I got back to Arizona. I interviewed for this job. I got the job. And right as I was starting to find my way, a local radio guy, very successful, very popular, very cartoonishly handsome radio guy, wrote a letter on letterhead to Moet Hennessy USA about a young field market manager who was having some noticeable success, and he decided to shine a light on it. That gave me a real boost with the company that I worked for, gave me a real leg to stand on because I was kind of set up to fail in that role, and gave me a friend that I didn't even know yet. Fast forward, I run into Ramses on the street. I was on a date, but the young lady saw Ramses, and then my date was over because he was Ramses. But his spirit from that day was that of a brother and a friend, and every decision that he made regarding my life was very, very directed, very, very intentional from that moment on. Now, Ramses Ja, in his own right, if you spent any time in Phoenix, you know, over the last 15 or 20 years, look at a billboard, look at a magazine, look at a nightclub, listen to the radio, and Ramses is present in all of those spaces. And I'm talking about real billboard, like that large of life, larger than life, is the man who's become my best friend. But while being a superstar, he could have just been a superstar. He did not have to predetermine a path for me. Now, the reason that you hear my voice right now is because, you know, that job that I had did not last forever. And I did some cool things in between then and where I landed, but eventually I found myself in that same space, looking for a job again, trying to take care of my family, and didn't know what to do. And my best friend tricked me into being a DJ. I'll tell that story in long form one day because it's a pretty cool story. It's kind of hilarious now, but he was a bit of a jerk that night. But once he determined that DJing was something that I could do, he didn't question whether or not I wanted to do it or whether I enjoyed it or nothing. So as he realized it was something I was proficient at and then eventually good at, he'd made up his mind that that's what I was going to do. And I did it at the highest levels that you can. DJing took me all around the world, stadiums, arenas, world tours, cruise ships, and on land and continents that I had never visited before, with, you know, a box of cartridges and needleheads, some vinyl, and some turntables. Yeah. And everything from then, right, from begging me for 10 years to just talk, because I wouldn't talk on mics at nightclubs, on the radio, nothing. To just pointing me in directions and willing things into existence for me. If you meet me or you hear my voice and you think, man, that guy's cool, or that guy's smart, or that whatever you think, it's because of Ramses. Because I had to be able to get over my fear and say something, and then to be able to articulate thoughts in a space where I was once upon a time so nervous that I literally could not speak it. It wasn't just that I didn't want to, I couldn't. I knew how afraid I would be. I knew how nervous I would be. So I avoided it at all cost. Until one day some things happened to our people specifically, and I had to say something. And once I started talking, that was all Ramses needed to put a whole pack of Energizer batteries in my back and point cameras and microphones and radio stations and TV stations and all type of things at me to make sure that now that I got him talking, the world needs to hear it. So we've done all these cool things and all these opportunities are presented to us, but a lot of them, and he cannot refute this, a lot of them were presented to him. And his response in almost every case is, sure, that sounds cool, but only if Q can do it with me. And making that the baseline for every opportunity presented to him has made it where life got complicated for me, and our opportunities have made it so that I could make life less complicated for my family, for my children and their mother more specifically. So if I could carve out a Hollywood star for anybody other than the woman that gave birth to me, it would be to the man who gave birth to this career that I now have. And for more exciting news that we get to share with you guys really soon, all of that is because Ramses made up his mind on my behalf that I was going to be something bigger than just Quentin Ward from Detroit, but Q Ward, that became, you know, a stage name and a brand that I had no intention on ever pursuing on my own. He pursued these things, not just on my behalf, but guaranteed me that if I trusted him, that he would not let me fail at anything that I put my hand to. And every time I'm doing something that feels difficult or where I feel lost or confused or I'm struggling or something that I feel like I cannot do by myself, I absolutely know if I call Ramses, whatever it is going to be figured out. If I don't have no money, if I don't have no place to live, nothing to eat, if I'm scared, terrified, stressed out, depressed, crying tears, if I could bring myself to tell Ramses about it, whatever it is that I'm most worried about will probably be figured out, because he is maniacal in that way. He made me a promise, and God bless his heart, he can't not keep it, even to his own detriment. If the man loves you and has dedicated himself to playing a positive role in your life, he might harm himself to keep that promise to you. So my Hollywood Walk of Fame star, man, Chinese theater, cover of the magazine, man on the billboard, you know, 40 under 40, 50 under 50, Forbes magazine, Time, Life, Rolling Stone, Grammys, Oscars, Tonys, whatever you want, Emmys, all of those awards would go to my brother, friend, co-host, teammate, and the captain of this ship that you guys are listening to right now, the legendary Ramses Ja.
Full disclosure, we have like a clock that we have to adhere to now. The show is growing. There's a lot of success that's taking place, but I gotta take a moment. Normally, I don't like that sort of thing on me because unless I can reflect it back, but I do want to say thank you for saying that. It doesn't sound like that in my brain when it's happening. It just seems very normal and very natural. But to hear it back, I think that I feel grateful that I've been able to be a blessing. That's, I feel like that's kind of the point, is to be a blessing of all of this. Like, what else is there really? What makes you happier than to like make somebody happy or make somebody feel special? You know. I couldn't. The happiness in my life comes from the story that you just told. So it makes me happy to see you flourish. I couldn't have a better story. So as you're thanking me, thank you for allowing me to live the best version of my life and for all the things that you've done for me. Obviously the same is true for you in many areas. I know I never listen and I am maniacal and I'm trying to not be so, but I probably won't be successful, but I'm going to try because you're worth that. And I'll try even harder. Why not? So, okay, all right. Entertainment. And by the way, you are still tuned in to the QR code. Q Ward on the other side of the microphone there. I am Ramses Ja on this mic here. Rich Paul has built Clutch Sports into a $1 billion brand. All right, I'm going to share from the Griot. Rich Paul has turned Clutch Sports Group into one of the biggest agencies in North American sports. The company, which Paul founded in 2012, now manages an estimated $7.27 billion in playing and non-playing contracts. That figure helped place Clutch and its parent company, United Talent Agency, at number 5 on Forbes' latest ranking of the most valuable sports agencies in North America. The $7.27 billion is not Clutch's valuation. It reflects the value of the contracts the agency manages for its clients. Of that total, about $6.27 billion comes from playing contracts and another billion from endorsements and other non-playing deals. The numbers show just how far Clutch has come from its beginning as a basketball-focused agency. Quote, "We started out in just basketball," Paul told Newsweek. He said opportunities to expand into other sports came earlier, but he wanted to make sure the company was ready before making the move. Today, Clutch represents athletes across basketball, football, baseball, and soccer. Its roster includes LeBron James, WNBA star Asia Wilson, Philadelphia Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts, MLB star Rafael Devers, and soccer player Kai Havertz. Among top agents at the firm is Nicole Lynn, who has secured historic deals while serving as the president of football operations. Paul's own influence has grown alongside the agency. He ranks among the most powerful agents in sports, with roughly $2.77 billion in active playing contracts tied to his individual basketball clients. That includes some of the NBA's biggest names and reflects the negotiating power Paul has built over more than a decade in the business. His path into sports representation was anything but traditional. You know, while we're here, I picked this story because I know this name from Q. Q knows, like, he could talk about this guy because he knows all kinds of cool stuff about him. So I thought this was really special. And Rich Paul is black, so it felt kind of cool that, because I know a lot of times the athletes are the ones that play the game, but many people might not know that a lot of times the athletes, they don't, their money doesn't last forever. They're not rich forever. And this person here, Rich Paul, as far as I know, he's not an athlete, but he's like really, really the right guy, and he really does business the right way. And I think he really cares about the people that signed to his agency. This is my understanding of it. Q, obviously I picked this so that you could reflect on it, but you always made this guy seem like he was cool people. And I was like, hey man, why not talk about this guy, Rich Paul, on the show and his cool business that he built here. So what you got for me?
My man, Rich. I'm kind of laugh smiling. It's hard to not take this level of success from somebody that you know personally. Like every time he gets a win, it feels like we won. And it's an interesting thing, man. Like you and I speak about capitalism, and you know, I spoke on our last show about the nuances of what success in this game that you have to play to escape poverty does to you. If you play it well, you have monumental success. But as I've said trillions of times, poverty has no, I mean, not poverty, capitalism has no virtues.
Yeah.
And, you know, Rich has, he's played the game at the maximum level. You can't be more successful than he's been. He represents LeBron James. And what's crazy is that Rich had to start that journey. He had to start that journey after LeBron James was already someone the entire world knew. So imagine that, because they started a lot of businesses together and have been in each other's orbit for a long time. But imagine being in a position to represent LeBron James after he's already LeBron James. Right? You can't, you know what I mean? Imagine trying to approach any of whoever you think are the biggest people in any industry on earth now to try to get on the team after the fact. I know you already Michael Jackson, you already Michael Jordan, you already LeBron James, you're already Jay-Z. Let me show you what I can do to help you, me, young black kid from Cleveland, Ohio, me, young black dude from Detroit, Michigan, me, young black man from Compton, California. Imagine how good you have to be at whatever for that to even be a conversation. Again, when Rich met LeBron James, he was already LeBron James. I don't mean that was already his name, because of course that was already his name. I mean, he was already on the cover of Sports Illustrated, the chosen one, LeBron James.
Dang.
And Rich was so good at name all the things that he was someone that could add value to the life of a already knighted superstar. And all he's done was live up to whatever that initial conversation was. And to the entire team, to Maverick, Randy, Rich, and LeBron, because I've met and spent time with all of these guys. You know, I won't even get into things that they've done in my personal life that I did nothing to deserve, that they did not owe me. And I'm not an inner circle friend of theirs, but I do consider those guys friends. They've always treated me well. We've, like I said, we've spent good time together over a long time. It's 23 years I've known those guys now. Shout out to Clutch Sports and to everybody over there, to Nicole, to Brandon, to Rich, to Mav, to Randy, to DJ Mill, to Savannah, to the entire, you know, James family, to the entire Clutch Sports family, to everybody at 8081 and LRMR. You know, these are like Cleveland before the world knew them. A bunch of guys from the Midwest that took every kid's dream and made it real. Because all of us, every kid that played a sport when they were a kid and had friends and cousins, yo, I'm gonna go to the NFL, I'm gonna go to the league, and when I get there, I'm gonna take care of everybody. Everybody thought that. And trust me, hundreds have tried it. Thousands maybe have tried it. It's a very difficult thing to do the way that you imagine it. Except LeBron and his team had the right mindset. And when you give someone like Rich Paul a fair shot, right, where the tables are not, where the odds are not stacked against him, where he's starting at that starting line with everyone else, they don't have the head start, which is really impossible to do, because of course they had the head start, right? Of course they had the head start, and Rich had to catch up to them and pass them, and now he's lapping people. You know, a Midwest kid with a genuine heart, with an incredible business mind and culture. The things that growing up where we grow up teaches you that you can't learn in school. Rich Paul brought that to the boardroom, and that's why Clutch is such a powerful entity and a force to be reckoned with. Salute to you, Rich. Love you, bro.
You know what else? Rich Paul is, it looks like he's engaged to Adele. And I think I
that's
knew
a fact.
That. I think I knew that. But that's pretty cool, man. So like he kind of has his own, like his other like pop culture connection. So nice. Yeah. I remember we DJed that party at that house that Adele rented. So when that popped up, I was like, hey, this is pretty cool. All right, anyway, that's going to do it for us here at the QR Code. Today's show was produced by Chris Thompson. If you have some thoughts you'd like to share, visit civiccypher.com, ask a question, share some encouragement, or buy us a cup of coffee. While you're there, be sure to hit subscribe and download all of our episodes. Also, be sure to check us out on all social media at Civic Cypher. That's CIVICCIPHER. I'm your host, Ramses Jha, on all social media. You can find Q at IamQWard on all platforms. And join us next time as we share our news with our voices from our perspective right here on the QR Code.